This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast, which today I'm doing in video with two of my favorite Christian musicians, Shane and Shane. You've heard them, you've listened to their music, and I've been looking forward to this interview for a long time. I want to find out about their lives, their ministry, their views of what's going on in the world and the future. So stay tuned to this very personal conversation with Shane and Shane.
Welcome to The Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back, and welcome to you, Shane and Shane. Boy, it's easy to remember your names. It's the same thing. What did you guys do? Meet up and say, hey, your name's Shane, my name's Shane, let's do a music group?
That is exactly pretty much it. What happened.
That's what happened.
Uh-huh. And just the fact that you sing had no relevance, is that it?
No. Just the marketing factor of the Shane and Shane thing. So we had to then like learn how to sing and all that. Yeah, it came later.
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of yours, and I don't say that very often. We've covered Christian music in one way or the other since probably before you guys were born. I'm talking about Charisma Magazine. You know, I mean, I can remember when Sandy Patty came on the scene, and there was singers like Honey Tree and Larry Norman that you probably don't even remember. And we followed it since then. And of course, when the praise and worship came along, which, you know, evolved into Integrity, you probably know a little bit about that. So much has changed. And then all of a sudden, I heard my wife listening to this music, and I said, who is that? And she says it's Shane and Shane. And so I started listening to your music. I'd listen to it nearly every day. And when I put some worship music on in my office at home, which is where my reading chair is, I always start with Shane and Shane, and 'Tis So Sweet is my favorite. So tell me about, you've done so many albums, but I gravitate toward the hymns. What made you do the hymns album?
Well, you know, we actually had an accidental, or maybe sovereign is the better word, beginning at Texas A&M. We were going to college there, and I was a business major. Shane was a business major. We had no business doing anything musical, and I was a new believer. I didn't grow up in a believing home, and Shane wasn't even a believer yet. And I borrowed his guitar and literally played a concert on a whim, you know, for a favor for my roommates. And we kind of got into it like completely out of the blue. And had no idea, no grid. Like those names you named before, we wouldn't have known those names, or frankly, the next generation, we wouldn't have known those names either, because I just didn't have any grid for music. And all I knew to do is play worship songs. And all we knew to do is open up the scriptures. And so when Shane and I borrowed his guitar that first concert, and then we became buddies, he got saved in a bar, long, awesome story. And then we started to sing together in, you know, coffee shops and youth groups and college groups. But we would sing the scriptures because we really didn't know what else to do. We didn't know about Christian music. We're like, man, I guess they used to sing the Psalms. Shine and Shine. And our first record was Psalms. And so we just sang the Psalms. We didn't grow up in hymns. I don't know anything about hymns. And so, you know, we started to kind of get into just a walk with Jesus together as we started to sing the scriptures. And then here comes a Psalms 2, you know, Psalms Volume 2. I mean, we have no idea what we're doing. We're just plagiarizing the Bible. And then we're reading scriptures like Colossians 3:16 that says, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, as you teach and admonish each other through singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. And so we just started to go, okay, we have a bunch of psalms. What's all this hymn stuff about? And we had a lot of catch up to do there. And so the hymns were really a blessing to us. I mean, so like 'Tis So Sweet is a kind of a new song for me. And I'm like, you know, all of those old hymns that are so rich in theology have just been a blessing to us. And so we're about to release a record called Psalms, Hymns, and Spiritual Songs that has a little bit of all three. And so, yeah, we've just been
Your Psalms albums are probably your most famous. And of course, I listen to those too. And they are so worshipful. I mean, it's not just music, but it's you know, at least for me, it takes me right into God's presence. But I grew up hearing those songs, you know, in a very different era. And then it was all kind of replaced by the Jesus movement and all the songs that came out of that. And it wasn't cool to sing the hymns anymore. It was kind of old fashioned. And at my church, you know, they don't want to sing a song unless nobody knows the words, you know, that it's so new from Hillsong or whoever it's from. And, you know, I enjoy that. But boy, when I discovered your hymns album, it was those lyrics, you know, that are beautiful, the tunes that I was used to, but it was in a modern style. And, you know, there's a lot of people in your generation or my son's generations that don't even know How Great Thou Art or some of these others. And I fall in love with 'Tis So Sweet. That's my favorite. I especially like the way Shane says, there's a certain way you say Jesus, you know, when you're singing that lyric. And not that you'd care, but I'll just mention that my mother, who's 92 years old and end of life, we've already planned her funeral. And we're going to sing that song at her funeral because it's a beautiful song. She would have known it and loved it. And of course, it's very appropriate in that kind of setting, of course. But tell me more about how if you didn't grow up in the church, you didn't have that background like I did. So somebody just gave you a hymnal and you went through it and said, hey, we think we could sing these songs, or what happened?
You know, we started to hear hymns, as we would go do services with churches and around this. So we, you know, over the years became familiar with, like, I would say, you know, those top 10, How Great Thou Art and 'Tis So Sweet. But when we started getting into hymns, I started soliciting people of like, man, I didn't grow up with hymns. Send me your top 5 favorite hymns. And I did that for a lot of people. And then I would just get those hymns, and then I would, you know, go to iTunes or Spotify and just kind of see what people have done over the years with those songs. And so I would kind of get an idea of like, okay, here's where those songs have been, because, you know, there's all kinds of styles singing through those hymns. And a lot of country artists do hymns, and, you know, there would be kind of a very old vocal group doing those hymns. And I loved that, just to kind of go, okay, here's where they've been over the last 60 years or so. And, you know, a lot of those hymns are ancient. They're 500 plus years old. And so then I would just go into the stairwell over here, about 10 paces that way, and get a guitar and just start lifting my voice. You know, I would kind of learn the hymn, you know, and then I would just go in there and just see what the Lord did. It's kind of my happy place in there, in the stairwell. It has roaches and all kinds of great stuff in there.
That's the secret. Well, actually, the acoustics are probably pretty interesting in the stairwell. But you filmed it live. Where did that happen, and when? And what? And maybe I should also ask you what response you've gotten.
Yeah, I mean, so we did Hymns Volume 1.
And I mean, probably a lot of other people do too.
Here in Dallas, we have a team of people. We have an online resource called the Worship Initiative. So we're constantly creating content. And so over the years, we've wanted to do some modernization of hymns, because we think, just like Shane said, I mean, the truths in these songs are so rich, you know, and we love the theology, singing the theology and getting that into your heart, just these amazing truths of scripture. You know, we love how those hymns really line up. It's almost like they're just dripping with the word of God, you know, and we love it. So we did a Hymns Volume 1, and then we did a Hymns Live, which is the one you're talking about, which we did it here at Watermark at our church. And so we just had a night of singing through the hymns, and then we just captured it.
That's it.
And that was it. So there's not much secret sauce to that, other than just like the people of God getting in a room and singing some hymns. And then we did a Hymns Volume 2, and then we did a thing called Hymns in the Round. And so we kind of lived, there was a few years there where we were just really living in the hymns. But the Hymns Live has definitely been the one that it feels like people have gravitated towards the most. And it's really encouraged a lot of people. And I think introduced, like you, I think you're alluding to it, but like really introduced some people that might not have really diving into the hymns and worship the way that they are. And so it's been super encouraging. We love it.
Yeah. Well, when I met Shane Everett at a meeting that you know, where you performed, and he was meeting different people, including my friend, and I had literally been listening to your music while I was getting ready, and I had it on my iTunes music, YouTube music, I guess you call it. He acted like he couldn't believe I was telling the truth, but I was. It was just kind of neat. I guess I didn't even know you guys would be there until I met him, but I just think that's really cool. And talk to me about what your plans are for the future. Here you become fabulously successful. You've really grown since those days that you borrowed your friend's guitar. Obviously, you're both saved now. You know, mature Christians, excellent music leaders. What's the future for Shane and Shane?
Man, I would say it's really similar to where the road that we've been. I mean, we're really passionate about singing the word, and we're really passionate about walking with people and helping them to sing the word to others. And so, like, preaching the gospel through song to every nation, tribe, tongue, until Jesus comes back is where we want to live. And so we want to help as many people do what we do. So just walk with them and train them. And we're walking with artists now and, you know, creating those original songs from scripture. And that's what we want to do. We just want to go, man, the word of God is active, living, powerful, able to save. You know, the gospel is the power to save. And so we just want to get around what works. That's what works. Not a couple guys who sing high and you know, strum fast and all of that. That doesn't work. God has a mission, and we just want to get into the mission and be faithful one day at a time. But it does all hinge on just singing the word, eliminating distraction, and letting people encounter God through song. So it's pretty simple.
And Shane Everett, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of changes in our world. I think that the Lord has just really brought teams of people to like come help and support a vision that I feel like is divinely implanted in us. And Shane alluded to it. It's sing the word and eliminate distraction. And so that kind of there's a lot of energy in that downline to how we get those things done. And so we have a team of people here in Dallas. We have a studio where we're creating content all day, every day. And so we're trying to resource the church with tools to learn the songs that they're singing. So musicians, like kind of practical, like training where how to play the guitar or how to play the drums or how to play the keys in this song. And then some what we call learning paths. So it's just kind of like the 101s of worship leading and leadership. And so there's a lot of like training tools around the songs that the church is singing. And so that's where we've been over the past 7 years, on top of Shane and I just doing the Shane and Shane thing, which is us traveling around and doing concerts and events and making our own music. But we've been trying to resource the Big C Church with tools that make what they do on midweek and Sunday services where they're more equipped, you know, and trying to put the whys into what we do and wrapping the songs that we're singing in with scripture, even though some of the songs the church is singing might be scripture light. I'll say that. I mean, just trying to give some meat around the bones of great worship courses. We love worship courses, you know, but I mean, a lot of the times we don't have, without being fed that truth that maybe a simple line comes from. We do a song called Psalm 46, right? Well, Psalm 46, which in church history is called the Psalm of Trouble. There's a lot of history in that be still and know that I am God line, you know? So we might have a song that says be still and know that I am God, but like, where does that come from? Like there's a rich history to that lyric, you know, that we might sing in a worship song. But like when you dig into like the depth of what that, where that line comes from, it brings new life to a lyric and in the context of what the Holy Scriptures and the divine word of God is intended for, you know, to be helpful in building up. But in all of that is where we've been living. And now we're stepping into a new season of original content. So we've just signed our first three artists. We're doing a management company and a record label and all kinds of fun things that are kind of new to our ecosystem. I mean, we've lived in the industry and been on record labels, but we've kind of started a new thing. And so we're just getting like-minded people who are gifted in specific areas and just want to create a community of people here who are really concerned about seeing Jesus worshiped in the church and in their communities. And so how do we send out an army of people that are setting the table for the Holy Spirit to do a work in people's lives? You know, that's where we're at. So it's exciting.
I think that's so important what you're doing, and I'm so encouraged by your story. And I can identify in my own way because I started Charisma Magazine when I was 24 years old. And it was just, I was a journalist. It was what I did. And the Lord opens doors. And it's no surprise that things are very difficult in our country. Christians are being attacked as never before. And I think that the Bible says all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And the good things is it's making a lot of lukewarm Christians decide, are they in or out? And they're actually seeking this kind of thing. In fact, my happy place is listening to your music and other music. You know, I don't turn on the news as often anymore. And really, all of us have to have that intimate relationship with the Lord. And that's what you help us to do. So thank you for what you do. And as we wrap up this short podcast, videocast, I want people to know how they can connect with you with some of these things that you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, you can go and, to how they can
reach you or access your music.
SHANE.com. And you can find links to all of these things. But the organization that we kind of are is our kind of our mission in life is it's called theworshipinitiative.com. And so initiative is kind of hard to spell sometimes, but if you just type in theworshipinitiative.com, you'll find a whole slew of resources for the church. And we have tons of music out there, probably a lot. We have a lot. And so, and we're continuing on a path.
So if you're listening, wherever you listen to music, so if that's Amazon, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, wherever that is, if you just search Shane and Shane, you'll find all of our music. If you search The Worship Initiative, you'll find all of that music, which is a ton of us and other artists that we've had in and just, you know, created content. So it's pretty easy to find anywhere you listen to music.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you to you both for taking time out of a very busy schedule to be with me on my podcast. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. I'd encourage my listeners to share this on social media, send it to people that you know like the music. I mean, these guys are all over media, but I think this was a great conversation. Thank you to you both, and thank you to my listeners for tuning in to the Strang Report today on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.